Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappan Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Department of Sweeping Generalizations here at Car Talk Plaza. You all right?
It wasn't a sweeping generalization.
Well, we should give people a little bit of background.
Go ahead.
Oh, I thought you were... my brother embarrassed himself and alienated half the population.
Not half. Maybe a third, but not half.
Close to it. You were shooting for half.
My pal, Jay Leno, asked me who are the worst drivers on the road.
Well, he asked us.
Yeah.
And I said you were the
worst. You said I was the worst, and I was trying to shift the blame to somebody else. And I will admit, I made a sweeping generalization, and I said young women, not just Donnas, but practically all women out of approximately the age 25. And what I said
was... In other
words,
up or down by 7 years.
Up or down by a couple of standard deviations, right. But what I said was that they were aggressive and lacking in road manners.
And then what happened?
There are a lot of boos and hisses. I will admit to that. But the truth of the matter is that in my experience, I have noticed, and all great theories start with somebody noticing something. What I've noticed is not so much that they are blatantly shifting in and out.
Well, like, you're digging yourself in, aren't you? Go for it.
Not the guys driving the pickup trucks with the oversized tires. They're not that kind of aggressive, but they are...
They're not like the BMW guys that drive up the sidewalk.
If you don't like the way I drive, stay off the sidewalk. They're not like those guys either, but they simply will never give you the benefit of the doubt or the right of way. If you are trying to get into a line of traffic or cross a line of traffic, you can rest assured that the likelihood that a 25-year-old woman will let you in is practically zero. That's my position, damn it, and I stand by it.
It makes no difference that everyone in the world disagrees with you?
Well, I don't know if everyone in the world disagrees with me. I would like to know.
Well, I mean, one thing about sweeping generalizations is that there's some element of truth in them.
Of course.
And
stereotypes have good basis. That's
right.
Why they are stereotypes.
So if you have a sweeping generalization that you'd like to share with us that you think has more merit than this lousy one.
Well, I would like to, if you agree or disagree, I would like to know what your experience, not you, my brother, because I know what your
I have
experience.
No experiences with.
I would like anyone who has some opinion on the matter of who are the worst drivers to send me some information at the following address or address.
You ready?
Yes.
Department of Sweeping Generalizations, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square. I needn't spell it. I mean, everyone knows how to spell Harvard Square.
Harvard Square.
Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Ma 02238.
Yes.
Hey, by the way, I should mention that whilst we were in California...
Yes.
We had occasion...
That's a nice word. That's as good as moreover. Whilst.
We had occasion to visit a shrine of sorts. We went to...
Yeah.
We went to Groman's... What is now called Man's Chinese
Man's
Theater. Because Grow is out. Well, whatever it is. That's where the
Chinese
that's
theater.
Where famous people put their handprints and footprints and whatever and hoofprints. And what should we see?
Yeah.
But the footprints, handprints, and blade prints of none other than our idol, Sonia Henie.
And
moreover...
tutu prints.
Tutu. Moreover, she did them on my brother's birthday. Not on the anniversary of his birthday.
On the very
on the
day.
Very
at the,
day.
At the very moment that I was emerging from the womb, Sonia Henie was there... On
digging her
Hollywood
blades into that concrete.
And I thought that there was some cosmic significance to
I
that.
I thought
don't
so,
you
too.
Think?
I did for a while, but now I realize
who
that
would
means
know
nothing.
That 25 years later... Who would know that 39 years later... Who would know that decades later...
Yeah.
We would become enamored.
Because anyone now
other.
Can go and find out that it was 1937. June 28th, 1937, a day that will live in infamy. Anyway, if you would like to call us, because I know my brother has no mail whatsoever to read, the number is 1-800-332-9287 or 617-353-6350. Hello.
Well done.
You're on Car Talk.
This is Janice from Pasadena, California.
How you doing?
I'm fine. This is a thrill.
Are you the little old lady?
Guys. No. I get to talk to you guys, and maybe I can get some help with my problem, too.
Maybe. We'll try. What's up?
I have a 1981 Mercedes. It's a 280 CE. It's got about 116,000 miles on it. This is an intermittent problem, and it occurs mostly when the engine is cold or the car hasn't been running very long. And what happens is when I need to accelerate rapidly from a stop, like at a traffic light,
it won't go.
I hit the gas. It sounds like the engine RPMs are going way up, but for a second or two, nothing happens.
Oh, Janice.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Oh, you got the double groan.
Woo, Janice.
Oh, really?
My.
Oh, really? Okay. Then.
Have you taken or brought it to anyone to look at anything?
Yeah, I took it in. I brought it to two different independent Mercedes mechanics.
Yes.
And the thing that was kind of weird about it is this started about 2 months after I had the transmission out to have all new seals put in.
Ooh.
Boy, doesn't that frost you, huh?
Ooh.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's going to frost me even more when I get done talking to you guys.
Yeah.
Well, so anyway, they looked at it. They adjusted the linkage and they cleaned it. They found a bad bushing, which they replaced. They gave it back to me. They said it was fine. And it seemed to be okay for about a month, and then the problem came back again. I took the car back in, and I also needed to have a new muffler and a new Cadillac converter put on it. And they did all that stuff, and they said, well, you know, maybe the mixture isn't right now. So they adjusted something called a Lambda system, which is this O2 sensor
oxygen
thing.
They adjusted the fuel injection.
Right, and they gave it back to me, and they said it was fixed again.
Yeah, they richened it up because I guess they were thinking that your problem was more
in the engine.
An engine hesitation and not what it really is, which is a transmission slipping.
Did you describe to them the problem exactly as you described it to us, that the engine revs seemed to be going up but the car didn't have any power?
I did better than that. I took them for a test drive and got it to do exactly what I told you it does.
And they started messing around with the Lambda sensor?
They did indeed. They
unconscionable!
Oh, wait, it gets better. Then, when I took it back to them, after I realized it still wasn't fixed after all this stuff, they did some stuff, they gave it back to me, and the problem was, in fact, gone, except now the car had absolutely no power, and it never downshifted at all.
Mm.
And I said, okay, the heck with these guys, and I went to another mechanic that I'd known from before. They did a test drive. They said, yeah, you're right, no power, it doesn't downshift. They opened the hood, and they said, well, here's your problem right here. Your kickdown lever's disconnected. They reconnected it. The car seemed fine. It had pickup. It downshifted when it was supposed to.
But it still slipped.
Right. The problem was back again. So I took it back into them. They went through everything again. They readjusted the linkage. They readjusted the mixture. They gave it back to me. They said it's fine. And about 2 months went by without any problems, and then it started happening.
Okay. I've got it.
Yeah. First of all, this sounds like a cover-up to me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's no question about it. Also, these guys are the ones who replaced the seals. They were the ones who originally had the transmission out.
Yes.
They were replacing engine seals.
No, transmission seals.
Or transmission seals.
They resealed the transmission because it was leaking all over your driveway.
Basically. Yeah.
And what they perhaps should have done is rebuild the transmission, which is what you need to have done now. So let's talk about the other important issue. Which kind of a car would you like to buy to replace this?
You need a transmission. Assuming that they've done the obvious things, like make sure that it's got enough fluid and maybe even change the fluid and the filter.
Oh, they did all that.
They must have done all that.
And they did all that.
Assuming that they did all
and
that.
And then when that didn't work, then they try to convince you that you're nuts.
Right.
Yeah, this is a trick we do. We always try to fix the customer's car the first two or three times, and then you start doing the Ingrid Bergman, Charles Boyer gaslight thing.
Gaslighting?
Yeah, you try to gaslight them.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't work, you really gaslight them.
They plant the seed that maybe have you been having a lot of stress in your life lately, Janice? You know, little things like that, just enough to make you wonder about your sanity.
If you're wacko.
Yeah, but I mean, you need a transmission rebuild.
How much do they charge you to reseal it?
$500.
I was going to say $400 or $500. Yeah, I mean, to rebuild it's probably going to cost you four or five times that.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, unfortunately not.
It might. I don't know.
Depends on what it needs. But, I mean, you might be able to get a rebuilt transmission from them, but that's going to be big bucks.
Yeah.
They do
have low-interest loans available. You can remortgage the house. But it's going to cost you a few bucks. But if you really like the car...
Yeah, I do, and it's great otherwise.
If it were my car, and it only slipped when I tried to take off from a dead stop, I would drive it until it croaked.
Okay.
Why yeah. not? I mean, you're not gonna... there's no benefit to do fixing it tomorrow.
No, there isn't.
Yeah, but they shouldn't do it all the time.
I should mention, by the way,
it
that
will.
It's unusual for a Mercedes transmission with a mere 116,000 miles on it to have this problem.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
So I have the luck?
Well, yeah.
You got it. Isn't that great?
You have the luck, but you might also be able to plead with them that, my God, I went out and spent all this money for a Mercedes because you guys tell me that you're selling me quality. And what the hell? I could have been driving a Ford Festiva and gotten 116,000 miles out of it. What do I need a Mercedes for? And threaten them with bodily harm.
Run them over.
Good luck, yeah. Janice. But I think start saving up for the rebuild because I think that's what you're going to need.
You are going to need it.
Both payments and everything.
Yeah, you got it. thanks for your call.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Guess what? The Puzzler Answer and more calls are coming up right after this. This message comes from NPR sponsor eBay Motors. It doesn't matter if your car is brand new or a vintage rumbler, there's always room to make improvements to take it to the next level and make it feel a little more like you. But how do you know where to go to find the right parts to do that? Well, eBay Motors has all the right parts at the right prices. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means they have 122 million parts all at your disposal. So whatever you want to do to your car, you'll be able to find exactly what you need at ebaymotors.com. Let's ride. This message comes from NPR sponsor Discover. Discover could talk about how complicated other banks make credit card rewards, like how there are minimums or worse, rewards that just flat out expire. But they'd rather talk about how with Discover, you can redeem your rewards for cash in any amount at any time. Talk about amazing. And now that you've had that talk, it's time to get back to what this podcast talks about. Learn more at discover.com/redeem rewards. Terms apply.
Hey, you know what it's time for?
It's howdy doody time. Of course I know, because there's only one time that you ever asked me this question, and I have finally, after 7 years, figured it out.
What is it?
It's puzzler time.
And pray tell, do you remember last week's puzzler?
Yes. On the back of a $10 bill.
No. Do you remember that we had a puzzler last week?
And
remember that we did a show last week?
And Krusty was driving this car... I don't remember the puzzle.
Okay, well, I'll let you off the hook because you never remember. But this
Henry Ford.
There you go. Anyway, here it is.
Yeah.
This fellow pulls into a gas station driving a pickup truck. You know, the horns.
It wasn't Henry Ford.
It was a Ford truck.
I thought I actually had it.
No, you didn't. But I wanted to humor you.
You shouldn't.
You know, the
that.
Horns, the gun rack, the dead antelope on board sign, the whole bit. And in the back of the pickup truck were a couple of empty gas cans.
Yeah.
And he was there to fill up the gas can so he could go back.
Metal. Gas cans.
Yes.
I think you specified that last week.
I did?
Yes.
I have to refer to
I have great long-term memory.
Refer to my notes. Wait a minute. I don't. Right. Metal gas cans.
Right.
They were metal gas cans.
Yeah.
And he was there to fill up these metal gas cans so he could go back to the ranch and fill up the skidoo, the ATVs, the dirt bikes, the weed eater, and all that stuff. And,
yeah.
You know, that's what guys in pickup trucks do. Anyway. Rather than take the cans out of the truck, which would be silly, I mean, they're in there in the bed, he jumps in there with his boots on,
mm-hmm.
and he says...
And the hose?
No, he says, toss me that nozzle, Bubba.
Billy Joe.
And he starts filling up one of the cans. Anyway, off in the distance, the owner of the gas station, standing in the corner of the parking lot trying to sell somebody a 62 Chevy that burns oil... He hears noises, and he looks up, and he sees what's going on. He sees the guy filling the cans, and he yells out, stop! Don't do that! But it was too late.
Oh.
Something terrible happened.
And now you're going to tell us
no.
the
Tune
rest,
in next week.
The rest of the story. Is what, he still on, by the way?
What and why? What happened, and why did it happen? Now, I wasn't a witness to this, but it comes on good authority.
Good authority that this is an actual thing that happened?
Yeah.
Not just a hypothetical puzzler?
So here's what happens.
Yeah.
He starts filling one of the cans.
Yes.
Okay, the metal cans.
Metal cans.
And as we know, the fuel flowing into the can is building up static electricity.
We know that?
Yeah, we know that.
Yes.
We know that. We'll explain that, why we know that.
We do know that.
Later. And unfortunately, he had one of those plastic bed liners in his truck.
Yeah.
Okay. And
seems like a good idea, right?
Seems like a good idea. It's good if you're going to carry manure, but not if you're going to fill up metal gas cans because the can didn't have the ability to discharged the static, electricity. And it started building up and building up. And finally, enough static charge built up so that his pants were clinging to the can. No, so that, in fact, the thing discharged and ignited the gasoline and blew the antelope on board, sign, the ATVs, the gas cans, the cowboy, the boots, and everything.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's why those big trucks, we had this puzzler many moons ago, have the chain, or used to have the chain, that dragged behind, not because there was any danger when the thing was in motion that it was going to be struck by lightning or anything like that. It's when the thing stopped and it was dumping out or picking up fuel that there would be static electricity created, and you wanted some way for that static charge to discharge into Mother Earth.
Ground, as we call it.
Yes.
Ground.
Ground. Did we have a winner this week?
Wow, I would call this one of the great puzzlers.
Well, we were trying to get Dougie to reenact the whole thing in the parking lot.
Just to prove that it really could happen.
He wasn't willing to participate.
He's such a spoil sport.
I know, what a sissy.
We do have a winner. Yes, the winner is Karen B. Maines from Greensburg, Pennsylvania. And for sending in that brilliant answer, Karen is going to get an autographed copy of our very mediocre book, Car Talk.
And don't worry, Karen, we always send it in a plain brown wrapper so as not to further embarrass you. Anyway, we have a new puzzle coming up in the second half of the show, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, we'll take a call. Notice that I didn't say a great new puzzle.
I noticed. It was a big letdown for me. 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mike from Arizona.
Hi, Mike. You're not from some little puny little town like Wickenburg or something, are you?
No, I drove through that last week, though. I'm in the middle of Phoenix.
Oh, Phoenix.
Right in the middle of Phoenix.
I never heard of that. I've been to Wickenburg. Anyway, Mike, what can we do for you?
Well, I've got a 1987 Nissan King Cab pickup that I just recently paid off. And
King Crab? What King, was that?
Alaskan King Crab pickup.
Alaskan King Crab pickup.
We got it.
Well, anyway, I've had this problem for a while. Every once in a while, out of the blue, it seems like my left turn signal blinker will blink a whole lot faster than the right turn signal will.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why?
Why? Good question.
Why not?
It's got a preference for it, and it doesn't always do it.
But well, only sometimes. That's interesting.
Well, no, it isn't interesting.
It is interesting.
I don't find it particularly interesting. In fact, we're going to move on to the next call, if you don't mind. No, what happened, if you were to get out when it's doing this and look, you would notice that one of the bulbs isn't blinking, I bet.
Yeah. But that's interesting that a bulb should be working sometimes and not working. Well, I thought that was interesting.
You could have a broken filament, and sometimes it touches and sometimes it doesn't. But when the thing is going, if you get out and look, you would notice that it's not working the way the other side works.
Right. When the beeper business isn't working correctly.
Flasher. He has these mental lapses from time to time.
I couldn't think of the word flasher. The way it tells you that it's not working, because you have no way of knowing that there's a bulb out, and the way it tells you that there's a bulb out is by flashing faster.
Or not flashing at all. Those are the two failure modes. Right. The light will light up and nothing will happen.
And nothing happens, or it goes boop, 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 boop.
Are there more than one bulb?
Well, there's one on the front and one on the back. There might be a couple on the sides on this King Crab pickup.
You may have two in the back.
Okay.
Yeah.
You may have two.
Because the blinkers work. I mean, if I get out, I can see the signal lights flashing.
But make sure that the same number of bulbs are flashing on the left as on the right. If you find that there's one fewer or one less bulb flashing on the left, then in fact, is the culprit. If that doesn't solve the problem, replace the flasher.
Okay.
That's the thing under the dash, and you'll find that not by looking in the book, but by turning on the directionals and groping around under the dashboard.
Right. But when it's flashing at the right speed, that's not when you want to get out and look, because everything's going to be working.
Right.
So whenever it happens that it's flashing, you know, if it happens when you're taking a left turn right there in the middle of Phoenix,
just jump right out
of the truck and look in back and look in front and see which one of those things is not working.
Okay.
And this is an easy problem to solve.
Well,
hey, good luck, Michael. Thanks.
Thanks,
see you. Bye-bye. 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Mildred from Denver, Colorado.
Hi, Mildred. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I have a question, or two or three or four, depending on how you count these.
Oh, how are we doing the first one?
That's true.
Go ahead.
I have a 1990 Toyota Camry, and I bought the car. It was a demo model. The person who sold it to me was fired when I went back to pick it up. So I had a few unanswered questions about the car. I had driven a Toyota Corolla prior to that. But in this Camry, I noticed that I have something called overdrive, and you can click overdrive on and off. Mm-hmm. And no one can explain to me what you turn it on for and what you turn it off for.
Nobody did you buy it at a dealership?
Oh, yes. And one person says you use this on the highway and this on the street, and the other one says just the opposite. So I'm calling to get your expert opinion.
Okay, now should we address these questions one at a time, or is there possibly some universal answer to all the questions?
Well, the other one is I also have in that same car power and normal, and I'd like to know when do you turn that on, when do you turn that off?
Okay, so you got overdrive. You got power and normal. Any other questions?
No, that's about it.
Oh, these are great questions, Mildred.
First of all, you didn't, with a 90 Camry, you didn't get the owner's manual?
The owner's manual does not address those issues.
Well, then it must be unimportant.
Well, we happen to know these answers.
Okay.
Isn't it fortunate that you called?
The overdrive should be used almost all the time. The only time you should really not use it, if you're doing driving in hilly terrain in many cases.
I disagree. See, this is why they disagreed, because I guess there is not unanimity on this
matter. That's why they didn't put it in the book. They must have argued about this and said, I'll leave it out.
Well, I mean, I would say that if you were driving around the city, and you might be getting into speeds as high as 40 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then dropping back
down
to 25.
And then dropping right back down again. That you should not be using overdrive. Because then it's going to be shifting up and down, up and down,
well,
up and down.
Well, let me explain. You can use it, and most people refrain from using it because they find it an annoyance to have the thing constantly upshifting, downshifting, upshifting. But if you don't notice it, and this car shifts smoothly enough so that you mightn't notice it, put it in overdrive and leave it in overdrive. Okay, so that solves that problem. If you notice it and it bothers you, or if you're driving in hilly terrain where you're going downhills and uphills, you might want to take it out of overdrive so it doesn't hunt.
Okay.
Right.
Now, as far as the power and normal business, all that does is control when the thing shifts.
So if you wanted to really be a hot shot, and you wanted to take off from those lights and really go as fast as possible, you would put it in power. And what that would do is it would delay shifting up to the next gear.
And it would be like revving it up more before it shifted into second gear. Like you would do with a manual shift if you wanted to zoom from one traffic light to the next.
Right. The disadvantage of that is that you get reduced gas mileage.
Right. The end should be called economy. Because you get better mileage.
So if I were you, I would keep it in normal all the time because there's no reason to have the power mode at all because it's stupid.
Isn't stupid?
Yes, it is. It is unnecessary. It is unnecessary technology. If you want to do that,
that may be a sweeping generalization. It may qualify as yet another of your sweeping generalizations.
I am loaded with them.
You are rife with generalizations.
If you wanted to drive that way, then you could do it. You could accomplish that by shifting manually, because it also has a 1 and a 2.
Yeah, but and that's like Lawrence Welk.
A 1 and a 2.
But if you didn't want to shift and move the stupid thing around, you could find a pattern that was more conducive to your. You drive like an old fogey, Thomas. So you wanted to go beyond that.
It is unnecessary to have the power mode. Put a piece of tape right over it and put it in normal and leave it there.
You'll never burn rubber in N, Mildred. So
then power is just from when I'm making a getaway from the police or
you,
something like that.
Exactly. If you were robbing a bank, you'd want it in power.
Oh, okay. I understand.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you very much.
All righty.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Hey, you're going to get some messages, then you're going to get the new puzzle, so hang around. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to answer your questions.
We're here to try to answer your
attempt,
questions.
Attempt, of course.
Attempt.
Your questions about cars, car repair, and why Jay Leno drives a Ford Festiva.
Shh, it's supposed to be a secret.
Oh, it is? Okay. Well,
yeah, so
anyway,
keep it down.
We'll get right to the new stuff here.
Yeah, what do you got there?
I have a lengthy letter.
No kidding, and you didn't let me see it?
In which is contained a couple of puzzlers, most one of them's real crummy and one of them's semi-crummy, so I'm going to use the semi-crummy one.
Okay.
And these were submitted
by... So that's why
by,
you didn't say a great new puzzler coming up.
No, I was just submitted by Brad Jackson. And where is he from? Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Is that where that is?
Cedar Rapids.
Yeah.
Cedar Rapids.
Yeah. Cedar Rapids. Out there someplace. Anyway.
It's one of the two big cities in Iowa.
The way I judge the value of a the merit of a puzzler is whether Dougie can get it in the space of about 4 hours. So he has he's been cranking on this one since yesterday, and he hasn't gotten it. So yeah. I'll use it anyway. I just wanted to read the first sentence of Brad's letter. Dear Knuckleheads, I am one of the 7 people who listens to your show, and I may be the only person in the world that has listened to it more than once. Okay, wise guy.
We knew that.
Anyway, I will read his puzzler. Verbatim.
Yes, and by the way, since he sent us a puzzler which you used and gave out his name, so now he knows.
Now he has to catch us at it.
If he listens to us 3 times, right. This would have to be the 3rd time, he too would get a copy of our mediocre book, Car Talk.
You ready? This is the puzzler now.
The puzzler is coming up. Okay.
A mountain climber is what?
Climbing a mountain.
Very good. They do that. He discovers a cave. Hmm. He decides to explore the cave. He goes in and he's looking around and he discovers 2 bodies frozen in the ice. He looks at them closely and suddenly he rushes out of the cave, trips and falls. He rushes out of the cave and runs back down the mountain.
Yeah.
He gets to the bottom and he starts shouting to everyone that he has found Adam and Eve.
No kidding.
No kidding.
Well, would they have name tags or what? Hi, I'm Adam.
tattoos.
They were at a seminar. You know, they always say, hello, my name is, and you write in Adam.
Well, it's very possible. That's how possible. Did he know that they were Adam and Eve?
Ooh.
Good question, huh? You want to hear the crummy puzzle that he sent?
Yeah, what was the crummy one?
No, I'll save that. I may have to use it next week. Anyway.
That is not bad. What if someone thought he or she knew the answer? The question is, how did he know? How come he was so sure that he had found the bodies of Adam and Eve?
The frozen bodies of Adam and Eve. That's the question. If you think you know the answer, send your answer to our new address. Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, and I will spell it, H-A-H-V-A-H-D. That's the first word.
Harvard.
Square, S-Q-U-A-Y-A-H, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Mass, 02238. I'll do it again, very quickly.
Yeah.
Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Wait a minute. See,
Our fair city.
You know, I'm trying to do.
02238. You missed your cue.
No, I know. I understand because what I was doing. People always complain that we don't give the address. Is it address or address? Slowly.
Well, I did it slowly.
And
the
I
first
was
time
trying,
for the remedial no, ones. I figured anyone that didn't get all the information would fill in the blanks the next time.
I was trying to.
Want to make a career out of this or what? I mean, it's only the address.
I was trying. Yeah, but don't forget, people send in these answers on the back of $20 bills.
Tough.
If they can't get the answer, we don't get the $20,
right,
you
then,
knucklehead.
Next week, we'll
Who
devote.
Who is that guy that said, dear knuckleheads?
We'll
he
devote,
was writing to you.
Next week, we'll devote the whole show to giving the address. We'll do nothing but addresses the next week.
Fine.
Okay.
Fine.
If you want to call us.
1-800-332-9287.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Bob from the Adirondacks.
From the Adirondacks?
Bob from the Adirondacks.
Where in the Adirondacks?
Yeah, where? Well, up in upstate New York, that's where they are.
Well, yeah, I mean, you must have, they have cities there, or you have an outpost number?
No cities.
No cities?
No, just a lot of trees, small towns.
He does not want to be known.
Yeah.
It's a small town.
Okay.
Bob doesn't want us to triangulate on him.
People find out that he's listening to this show, his name will be mud for the rest
of
the year.
All right, Bob, it'll suffice. The Adirondacks,
Adirondacks
will suffice.
Is fine.
Okay, I'll give you a name. How about North Creek?
Never heard of it.
Okay, I didn't think so.
All right, so what's up, Bob?
Okay, our boy is taking his Grand Continental Tour.
Yeah.
In an 87 Sprint. He is headed for California. This Sprint has a problem of heating up fan belts.
Mm.
Before he left, we had the thing checked over. A new belt was put on, but just shortly before that, we had put another new belt on. The thing had eaten that, ate that one up. He got to Kansas City, had to have a new belt put on in Kansas City, but we can't seem to figure out why this thing eats fan belts.
You can't. You can't.
Hmm.
Okay.
I mean,
then I guess it's on us now to figure it out.
Yes.
It would seem to me that this has just one belt.
One belt,
it
yes.
It's just an alternator belt.
So, alternator and the water,
water
pump.
So three things, three. There are three pulleys. The crankshaft,
yes.
The alternator, and the water pump.
Yes.
If the water pump were seizing up, or any of them were seizing up, obviously that would burn up the belt.
Yes.
But the other thing that can burn up a belt is misaligned pulleys.
Exactly.
For example, if somebody replaced the water pump and put the wrong one in there,
uh-oh.
It's possible that not all the pulleys are in the same plane. So what you have is tremendous lateral force on the belt, and that'll burn the thing up.
No time. I mean, you'd hardly make it from New York to Kansas City.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, it's relatively easy to check because you stand off to the side and you can get all those three pulleys in sight,
yeah.
And you can tell if they're in the same plane or not.
Yes.
And it sure seems to me like that's the problem.
But I would guess that somewhere along the line with this 87 Sprint, somebody changed a water pump or an alternator or some such thing and either put a pulley on there that was not in the same plane as the other ones,
or the wrong size pulley.
Or the wrong size, not the diameter, but it had a different V in it.
Oh, yes.
Okay. And oh, I know, because we do this stuff all the
all
time.
All the time.
Oh, you guys. Right.
And the belts, people come in, the belts are smoking, and you know, and you know you did something wrong, but it's not immediately obvious.
I see.
So ask him to take a look, find himself a dealer out in California or wherever he happens to be these days.
Okay.
And bring it into a dealer, not to some local gas station.
But he can bring it if he wants, but mm-hmm. He should probably take it in.
Drive it into the dealer.
Right. Yeah.
And tell them what the problem is and tell them what we suggested and let them figure out.
And when they stop laughing, maybe they'll have an answer.
Okay.
They will figure it out, Bob.
Okay.
Thanks for your call.
I agree. I appreciate it.
All righty. See
Good
you
luck.
Later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, another hour of your valuable time has been squandered listening to Car Talk. Just an hour, huh?
It just seemed like more.
Our producer, FCC Enforcement Division, please make a note of this. Our producer is Doug Berman.
That's Douglas Q. Berman.
B-E-R-M-A-N. Should we give out his home number?
Yeah, 617.
Oh. Our associate producer and dean of the Department of Automusicology is Ken Babyface Rogers. Our assistant producer / engineer is Jennifer Conifer Gonifer Loeb. Our technical advisor, who managed to stay awake for the whole show today.
Yes, he is. He's there.
Hey, John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research. Our automotive medical researcher is Dr. Denton Fender. Our staff grammarian is I Am Shirley Wright. Our director of long-range strategic planning is Kay Sarah, who's married, I think, I'm not sure.
Yes,
to
she
Frank
is.
Sarah.
Yeah.
And
what
now
name
we
does
call
she go by now?
Quesos. Our transportation coordinator is Rick Shaw. Our staff composer is Bela Kartok. Wait, there's more. The head of security here at Kartok Plaza is Barb Dwyer. Staff geneticist is Dr. Gene Poole. The conductor of the Tappet Brothers Symphony Orchestra is Sludgy Ozawa. The manager of the Tappet Brothers Capital Depreciation Fund. You know, we haven't built anyone in a long time. That reminds me, is Less Is More. And the chairman of the Kartok Physics Department is Victor Analysis. Our chief legal counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheeseman Howe, is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known around Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. We're Click and Clack the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye. This is NPR, National Public Radio.